With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Vito to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for September 18th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I'm here today to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 25 live feeds. It was day 47 in the house, and we have a veto that needs to be, we need to decide who we're using it on, if we're still using it. We had some developments in terms of where people are looking and moving for next week. And that was pretty much what's going on here. It's very normal all of a sudden. We're going to keep this nice and, tight because I'm going to be speaking to Izzy, later this morning. So, it should be an interesting one. And with me to talk through it all is Mary. How you doing, Mary?
I'm doing good. Yeah. You know, I feel like it's been pros and cons with the season so far seeming to trend back toward like a normal season structure. Good for the sleep. Sad for the drama, though, because I really liked the high energy, like every day is a big explosion. Who knows what could happen next day? That was pretty fun. So I liked it.
We still do have, I mean, the players are still, I think, playing very similarly. It's just that you know, information spread so much faster with Izzy there as like, you know, Suri would find something out, immediately tell Izzy, who would then run it to other people and run it back and then discuss, should we change the plan because of this? Whereas now information gets to people and it's like the more normal thing where, you know, half a day later, they'll then talk to their ally about it and then have like an initial conversation about like, and then like another half day later, it's like, should we change? Meh.
Yeah. And like, I've been trying to put my finger on exactly what it is about this season that has made things so wild, because I don't know that there's any one given person you could say, like, if this person wasn't on the season, even Suri, if they weren't on the season, would it have been different? I really feel like somehow we just got this perfect storm of everyone who is... everyone is so intermixed that they just don't mind sharing information and just write. It used to be that they would share information with literally everyone within a matter of hours. And now it's like, okay, there's some information that is being passed along, but it's taken a couple days to get to that point.
Well, I'm going to break up the day into like little mini storylines here to help, as it facilitates the update. So, story number one, Cam throughout the day is going to be making some pitches, campaigning. He has a particularly awful one with Matt where he is like, hey, where are you leaning with all of this? And Matt's like, probably with the house. It's like, oh, then never mind. I didn't ask how the house was leaning. I asked where you were leaning, Matt. And the rest of the conversation was basically this awful. These conversations have been awful ever since Cam realized that he doesn't just like have Matt in his back pocket. He's been very like aggro toward Matt. Like, you are not as smart as I thought you were if you're not going to listen to what I have to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, the smart thing to do is just blindly follow whatever I say, not to, in Cam's mind, blindly follow what other people are saying. Because yes. Matt, of course, he doesn't have any kind of agency of his own or thoughts of his own.
And Matt does not like these conversations.
Oh, yeah.
He's very frustrated with them. Cam is going to continue to make his pitches throughout the day. He talks to Blue. He talks to Suri. He's basically giving this like free agent pitch of like, hey, work with me. He talks a lot to Suri about like the red stuff and all that stuff that doesn't matter. He makes another pitch to like Jag, Matt, Jared, and Blue all together. And he's like, the five of us could run this game. Hire me. I'll be your party clown for all I care. You know, we got to take out Corey. He's the smartest guy in this house.
Right. Whereas he had previously just told Suri that she needed him in the house so that he could be the only one physically strong enough to go against Matt, Jag, Jared, and Blue. And then immediately pulls Matt, Jag, Jared, and Blue in a room and is like, you need me to take out Corey. Fair. I get it. Do what you got to do. But like, the finesse is not there in any of these conversations.
Yeah. So the point of the Cam story is that Cam's not really doing a whole lot of good for himself. And most people are laughing at his pitches. However, that does not mean that he is completely dead in the water right now. And the free agent pitch in general is something that, like, it's valuable to an extent. And it's valuable to a particular extent because Matt talks to Suri. And there's a bit of a story here. Matt, as we know, had been very tight with Suri for a long time prior to her getting kayaked. And then stopped telling her all of his information, which was very good for Matt's game. And he has skyrocketed his position since he stopped telling Suri everything. However, now that she is unkayaked and the vote has flipped and she's back to like playing the game, Matt's starting to talk to Suri some more again. And he really wants to work with her, and he's going to start, you know, she just has a way of getting information out of him. And she's talking about the Path to Power competition. And she's like, man, we still don't know who was the fourth person who played in that, do we? Matt's like, oh, I know. Tell me, come on, tell me. It's like, oh. I mean, I don't know. Come on, Matt. You got to tell me now. Okay. Well, let me give you a hint. It's putting the shades on for like 3 hours. She's like, what? Cam? No. Who likes to nap with their shades on? Like, what do you say? Corey played in Path to Power. Oh, I knew it.
Remind me, did Suri already know that Corey had played?
No. She assumed it, though.
Okay, because Corey and Suri, I believe, they had both lied to each other saying that they had not played. So they both found out through Matt that the other one has played.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, fair trade.
He also tells Suri that the way he sees it, America and Corey are going to nominate her and Jared next week. And that they've been talking a lot with Jack to try to get him to do the same.
Why are you ratting it out, Matt? Why are you doing this?
I mean, I think the America and Corey part of it is mostly fine. I think it's dangerous because it is good for Matt's game if Cam leaves. And America and Corey are on the block right now. The veto hasn't been used yet. And they might decide they want America and Corey out instead, and that would just trash his position. So you might want to be a little careful. Might want to save this for post-veto at the very least. But even then, you're giving them the ammo they need to change their target, which is not good by itself. But there is some merit in keeping them focused on America and Corey, not on you and Jag, except he named Jag in it. What are you doing?
Yeah, the three bits I don't like, don't name Jag, don't do it the timing, like you mentioned. Wait until after the veto's already been used or possibly even after this vote or something. I don't know. The other part is if this information does get back to America and Corey, let's pretend America or Corey, either one of them has the power. At the very minimum, they might stop trusting Matt and telling him information. I don't know. Like Matt does have this ability to play the middle if he wants to, but if he's going to do it, he can't keep letting it get back to each side that he's throwing each other under the bus.
Yeah. This to me was the first huge slip up that Matt has had in a while. And it, again, I mean, it all stems from Ceree. The reason his position got better is because he stopped telling Ceree everything. He's starting to tell her more things, and his position was fine. He doesn't need to tell Ceree this. He's already in the middle. He's already in the perfect spot. Telling her this only opens him up to potential pitfalls. So I don't know what he's trying to do here, but I don't like it. It's not good for his game, I don't think.
I think is there something just sort of meta about like this idea that people have where they really want the like Danielle and Jason or the Malcolm and Denise, like they want this, like, you know, mother figure plus young guy, like sort of relationship, because they feel like, oh, nobody will see that coming. And this will be such a good, like, you've got the brains, I've got the brawn, like kind of thing. And that they can't get out of their way of realizing like, yeah, but maybe I'm not the only one who has this relationship, or maybe this truly isn't the best for this scenario. It's like how Jag keeps wanting to build a really big alliance, or, you know, did for the first month of the game. Like sometimes you can just get fixated on what your plan is and not be flexible with what's actually happening.
He just loves Ceree. Can't blame him.
Yeah. Who doesn't? Yeah.
Ceree tells Jared that she's scared for him because she thinks Corey and America are coming for him. Jared says, I don't care. Ceree says, what? But I'm just concerned. Because, like, I feel like Jag might be with them, and that, like, I don't know. I feel like Matt and Blue, like, I feel like they might be trying to throw the next HOH, because if they know America and Corey are coming for us, then they don't need to win. She's 100% correct in all of this. And Jared's like, yeah, but Corey's probably not going to try to win either. He's too scared to take that shot. So I don't think. But Jared, I feel like he's pretending that he's alone right now. But I think he probably has something with all those people that flipped the vote. Don't you think? And Jared's like, nah, I can't give Corey that much credit. I don't think so. Okay.
Corey is the opposite. Corey gives people too much credit and assumes that everyone is thinking the way that he is about every scenario. And then Jared's over here Jareding and not realizing, like, a vote flipped and you were out of it. And in order for that vote to flip, probably people made some, at the very least, deals to make that happen. I would always assume that everyone is like 10 steps above where they're actually at.
And this is the thing. I mean, I think that when it was Ceree and Izzy, they would sort of overreact to things and sort of like overestimate their competition. But Ceree with Jared to bounce ideas off of, it's like a black hole. Like this is the idea just gets sucked away into the void. She suggests, like, I don't know, what if we... Would it make sense at all for you to lock in a deal with Cam and try to just like trade off HOHs? Like, I don't know. Like, if everyone's coming for you, is that a play that we should think about? And Jared's like, nah, don't think so.
Which for like the one thing I do feel like while that could be an idea, I do feel like Jared's goal of just getting to a position where he's the only one who could win competitions is probably top of mind.
I agree as well. And so that's what I was arguing last night on the recap. But it is, I think, worth the discussion.
Yeah. Well, or at the very least, like at this point, still, you don't 100% know what Jag's going to do. Or maybe you want to consider, you know, thinking about it for a little bit longer. I mean, have that conversation with Cam in case something does flip or change.
Yeah.
At least you've got that option.
Corey and Jared do talk later in the night about the argument. Corey says he doesn't take anything personal. He does think there's still a path for them. If he wins HOH, he'll prove it by not targeting Jared. Jared agrees. He says he doesn't take it personal either. He gets heated, but that doesn't mean that anything bad is happening. You know, it would only be bad if it got physical. Obviously, that didn't happen. Corey says it's so funny that you talked about like brother thing between us, because the one person that's ever able to get me that heated is my brother. And so they're both trying to, you know, do the thing where they're like, it's fine now, right? We're not going to keep targeting each other. But you know, they're going to keep targeting
each other. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Another storyline through the day was Felicia and Mimi, who are going to continue to talk about not trusting Saree and Jared as they really continue to discuss the events of Thursday. Saree has been putting in a lot more work over the last few days, but in one area that she has dropped the ball on is Felicia and Mimi, as there's still very little explanation for them as to what happened there. And as they sort of like, as I've talked about before, the siren song has stopped playing for them. And the further they get away from it, the more they're thinking like, wait a minute, they really kind of screwed us, didn't they? And Felicia says, you know, I've seen how Saree is able to twist information to suit her purposes. She's really good. She is the mastermind of the season. And I was mostly okay with it when she was on my side, but like, I don't know if she's on my side.
Yeah, it's kind of like that thing, right? Like if they'll cheat with you, they'll cheat on you, right? If you've seen them talking to someone else.
Don't talk about that with Jared and Blue.
But if you've seen them, you know, say things when other people leave the room or twist things or whatever, then you know that they could be doing it about you. And now that you've been left out of something, you start to question probably all the conversations you've had with them both before and since. And yeah, I mean, it's at the very least, it's good for them to be waking up to that knowledge.
Yes. So Felicia ends up talking with Corey and getting more details about the whole fight and everything that happened on the flip. And she learns that the entire fight, the reason the fight happened was because Jared was mad that they were flipping their votes to keep Felicia. And she's like, why? I thought he was one of my logged in votes. The fight started because he was mad that I was staying.
Yeah.
And they start to kind of talk loosely about the four of Corey, America, Mimi, and Felicia working together, which if that happened, like that's just straight up the path, I think, for Corey and America. Having lost Cam, which is a huge blow to their game, this is a huge, huge opportunity for them. The four of them are going to get together and talk more about what happened and talk more about working together. And Felicia even lets Corey know, like, hey, just, you know, I was talking to Jared and he still wants to put you and America up and target you next week. And so, this is very good for all four of them. If they can make something happen here. And it's also, I think, the path for Felicia and Mimi to a degree. I think that, you know, Jared leaving, maybe Corey leaving, and all of a sudden having like Saree and America both kind of being able to play off, that would be a good path for them. Good paths all around. So hopefully nobody rats this out.
Yeah. I love the part of the conversation where Corey says, yeah, it's a little bit of a hodgepodge group, but I don't know about naming it right away because alliance names can get leaked and scare people. Yeah, Corey, look, even fake alliance names can get leaked and scare people. So maybe just don't do too much of that. And also, are we still at the point where people don't understand that putting numbers in alliances is also bad?
Right.
Clearly not, because there was a lot of that this season.
So and I just realized I don't even have the graphic up. I'm sorry. but both Corey and America end up telling, Corey tells Jag a little bit about this. America tells Blue a lot about this conversation. She's like, hey, Mimi and Felicia don't trust Jared and Saree anymore. They were talking about like working with us. It's like,
why tell Blue anything? Like, how many times do you have to learn this lesson?
It's remarkable.
It doesn't benefit you at all to tell Blue anything, especially. I mean, I can a little bit see, like, if in Corey's mind, if he's thinking Matt and Jag is the area I really want to go in, but then like Mimi and Felicia is the backup one, which first off also doesn't make any sense, because like you would probably have a better time at the end game with Mimi and Felicia. Maybe, I don't know if that's up for debate, but I can get why Corey is a little bit like, I really trust Jag. I want to make sure that if information gets back to him, it comes back from me first. But Blue, there's no reason for this. Zero.
mean, also just in general, like, there's just not a lot of reason to have for either of them to tell, like, you are not working with Mastermind Suri anymore, who is going to find out this information. You're working with Jag and Blue. Like, it's not going to get back to them unless you tell them. And if you give up all your goods, then you're giving the goods to them. So now you're giving them to Jag and Blue. Like, you're not playing the same game you were before. This is not Suri. Chill.
So frustrating. It's just unbelievable.
And the reason why this is particularly bad for Corey in America is that it's a path. They're giving this information and very valuable information to Jag and Blue and ultimately Matt, which by itself is bad. But also in particular, Blue, Jag and Matt have been talking about throwing the HOH, which is bad for Corey in America. And this, the one thing holding them back is that they've been worried about what Mimi and Felicia will do. And so when they find this information out about Mimi and Felicia, Blue and Jag are like, this is amazing. Now we can definitely throw the HOH. They're probably not coming for us. In fact, if they're willing to work with people, why don't we get involved in that? Why don't we talk to Mimi and Felicia? Now, all of a sudden, you've given two separate allies the ability to communicate with each other. And work with each other before you, and like give that, like, this, why?
And you want some pieces. Like, if it's good for Jag and Blue to think that America and Corey need them and that they're all America and Corey have, that's good. It's not good to tell them, oh yeah, we've got other options also. Like, even if they're fake, or even if we're telling you about them, like, we've got Mimi and Felicia. Don't tell them that. Why are you giving them all your stuff?
So they're super excited. Blue, Jag and Matt discuss throughout the day, multiple conversations, the three of them really, really trioing it up throughout the day. And they discuss throwing the competition. We're definitely throwing at this point. We would love for the throw to be to Corey in America, but, as the day progresses, it might even get to a point where maybe it's even like a Mimi or Felicia, which, you know, would still be a mistake in my eyes, but you can judge that for yourself based on the late night conversation. Blue is really pitching for, we throw the comp to Corey in America. They nominate Jared and Suri, and then we vote out Suri, right? And Jag and Matt are like, sure. But privately, they're like, we're 1,000% voting out Jared. Like, of course we're voting out Jared. So Blue is trying to get Suri out. But Jag and Matt want Jared out, as does the rest of the house. So, like, while I like Blue's plan, and I was defending it last night on the recap, I like what she's trying to do. What I also said is the execution is not exactly there, because nobody else really agrees with her that Suri should leave over Jared.
I'm trying to think, I don't think Blue is, well, from Blue's perspective, it obviously benefits her to have Suri leave over Jared. If Jared's not going to put Blue up, Blue might be the only person in the house right now who doesn't, well, and Suri, who don't have to worry about another Jared HOH, at least for a while. So that makes sense. But yeah, I think it's a little too obvious also to say that. Like, everyone's already going to assume, Blue, that you're pretty good with Jared. So, like, trying to pitch that it's better for everyone else to go with Suri, it's kind of like, well, it's better for you, but it's not better for everyone else. You need to think about it from other people's perspective a little bit more. But I don't know. I mean, Blue's growing on me. It's just, I just want everyone to have more options. And it seems like they keep just sharing all their information so that they end up only having really one option left.
Yeah. It's cause it's like Blue and Jag in particular, like, they're in the game now. They're actually playing. They're still making a lot of mistakes, but it's like way better than what was happening before, right, with them. So it's like, you know, like one step at a time, I guess. So that's kind of the dynamic there. There's going to be a late night hangout crew. Alcohol is delivered. And we'll get to some of the alcohol related stuff later. But there's a group of Mimi, Jag, America, Corey, Matt, and Bowie essentially the six votes that were there to save Felicia. And they're hanging out, joking around. And Bowie even says, hey, we should name this group Corey's Alliance. Get him in trouble. It's just a good like bonding session. I really like that Mimi is like doing this. Like mm-hmm. we talked about at the beginning of the week, I was saying, I love that Mimi took the opportunity to take Izzy out. I love that she recognizes she can't fully trust Ceri and Jared. But what is she going to do about it? Is she actually going to go out and start bonding with other people and having strategic conversations? And the answer is yes. Here she is in this group. And she's going to have even more conversations later that we're going to get to very soon. I like seeing this from all of them, even Bowie. Like this is good stuff.
It's a little bit like when you're playing a game and there's too many pieces on the board and you're like, I don't have the energy to like talk to everyone. But now that like almost half the house is gone, like, okay, great. We could just talk to the people who are left.
Yeah. So later that night, Mimi and Jag talk in the bathroom, and Jag feels like he can have this conversation with Mimi because of the information that he was given by Corey in America. And they talk through the vote situation, and they talk about how they do both trust Corey and America, and they talk about working together moving forward. And Felicia joins at one point. She had to go to the bathroom, and she asks Jag more about the votes, and he explains his perspective. And after she leaves, he's like, oh, I'm so excited that she's piecing everything together now. And then, you know, if this conversation goes well for Jag, that's bad for Corey and America. If it goes poorly for Jag, it might be good for Corey and America. And I don't think it went great for Jag. I mean, just based on my perspective. So Jag asks Mimi how she's feeling about the next HOH. And she's like, yeah, I just don't know. It's not sure yet. And he's like, well, if there was like a big shot that you wanted to take, now that we know everything about Jared and Ceri, I just want you to know I would back you. And she's like, yeah, right. Yeah, for sure. Do you think other people would be willing to take that shot? He's like, oh man. Yeah. I mean, I feel like, let's go down the list. I think Corey in America would, I think a lot of people might. And you know, if there were two people up there, would you have an inclination to like, which one that you would want to send out? He's like, oh yeah, that's a hard one. I don't know. I'm not sure. And he's like, we're talking about Jared and Ceri, right? And she's like, yeah, yeah. He's like, well, let's say, just to say for like the sake of argument that Jared is the target, I think that you would put him up next to Ceri. And he starts talking about the numbers and the votes. And Mimi's giving him nothing. Yeah. Mimi's answering none of his questions. And he keeps filling in all of the blanks.
Yeah, I noticed that. I didn't love it. I mean, I think Mimi's been like this in a lot of conversations. So that might just be how she's wanting to play. Like, for everything we've said about everyone else, Mimi is the only one who is keeping everything close.
Yes.
Is keeping, and in sometimes so close that the audience doesn't really know where her true loyalties lie or anything. And that's fine. She's not in a position where she needs to reveal any of that information at the moment. And it really behooves her to have people thinking that she's with them, but also she's got a lot of plausible deniability of like, well, I didn't say anything to you, Jag, so if I go a different direction, that's not going to, you know, it's not really going to hurt me because you need me more than I need you in all these cases.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think ultimately this is a good conversation for both of them in the sense that like Jag is a lot less likely to even win HOH in the first place, let alone nominate Mimi as a pawn. Mimi is less likely to target Jag like she was kind of planning to. You know, in that sense, very good conversation. But it definitely was a little bit like, all right, Jag, like calm down a little bit here. You know, you don't need to like take all of these steps at once. You know, just focus on the working together. You can talk about targeting Jared next. It's just, he's so focused on like, oh, this is so perfect. If I can get Mimi to target Jared, then I really don't have to win HOH. It's like, okay, just, you know, you've got days. Okay. You've got days. Keep talking first. Interesting developments there. The final storyline of the day is, what is he going to do with the veto? Jag is holding the veto. He told Corey in America the night before, I'm just going to let you two decide. if Jared doesn't have anything that he cares about. Jag goes to Jared. He says, like, he says, this is what I told them. If you don't care, then I'll let them decide. Jared says, I don't care. And so Jag goes to Corey and he says, hey, Corey, have you decided anything? And Corey's like, nope. Because neither of them are willing to give in. But Corey says, a little sneaky Corey, he says, she does think that you're already going to use it on me because of house guest choice. And Jag says, ah, that's the thing. If you guys don't decide, I'm going to use it on you, Corey, because of house guest choice. He talks to Blue about it. He says the same thing. He says, house guest choice. He also feels closer to Corey. And he also didn't like America's argument to him because what America said to him was that she's on the block because of Corey. And Jag's like, that's not true at all. If anything, Corey's on the block when he wouldn't have been. You always would have been on the block with a Jared HOH. This is where Jag is really leaning toward. And after the alcohol delivery, Jag kind of, as America and Corey are both pitching to him, Jag kind of jokingly says, hey, he holds up a glass of wine. I'm not using the veto on, chug this. And America goes, I volunteer as tribute. And they laugh. And then she starts her pitch again. And he goes, no, chug it. And she goes, really? He goes, yeah. She grabs it and chugs it with her like beer in the other hand, just chugging it down. And they all laugh. Oh my God, this is so funny. Wouldn't it be hilarious if this is what cost you $750,000?
I mean, it's a funny gif, but like, there is some good wine out there, but I think that it has shown $750,000 wine usually not actually worth it in the long run.
You never know. But that is where things seem to be leaning at this point. Jag plans to use the veto on Corey as of today, and the veto ceremony will be today. So that's important to know. Corey did talk with Suri and said that they would have a chat today, day 48. So we'll see what comes of that conversation as well. Still theoretically possible to have something change last minute, but as of right now, it looks like Corey will come off the block and Cam will go up. And that's basically the day. Anything else you want to bring up, Mary?
There was a little bit more fun stuff after the booze delivery. If you like Corey and America, I don't know, talking about their love life in front of everybody else.
Yeah. lots of feet talk, you know?
Yeah. When America said, I'll suck his toes and the hat, the blanket, the toes, the mustache, that all works for me. And then I liked Cerise's face when that was happening. And then Nicole saying, I rebuke all of this. I'm talking about it.
All right. Well, there you go. Quick update for the day. I'm going to be talking to Izzy very shortly. So keep on the lookout for that conversation. Should be a good one. You can, of course, find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, watching episodes, whether they're early or very, very late at night. I'll, of course, be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 25 live feeds. Mary, where can people find you?
You can find me everywhere at Frail Mary.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining us here today. And I will see all of you next time.